Welcome to 2015. I know that you've already entered into it, but this is the first time that we're seeing each other, and this is the first time that we're chatting. And you know what? When you start something new, the way you start it is probably the crucial part. Because the way you start it determines where it's going to go. Jesus likes to compare life with somebody that builds a house. We all know that. You know where Jesus compared the two builders? There was a wise builder and there was a foolish builder. And he says that the wise builder built his house on the rock and the foolish builder built his house on the sand. And both these houses, they looked the same. They were well built. They were beautiful. They had good finishes. They had brilliant fittings. And you would be hard-pressed to say which one was the better and which one was not, because for all intents and purposes, they could be exactly the same house. But there was something that would very surely and very quickly determine which one was the better house, and that is called the storms of life. Just wave at me if you know what I'm talking about when I refer to the storms of life. All right, I was actually expecting at least one person to jump up and down and wave at me with both hands. I'm sure some of you know what I'm talking about. And you see, the thing is, when the storms of life come, it tests your foundation. Because it is only when you have a solid foundation that your life is built on that you will weather the storms. Kasia, when she was sharing her testimony, she said that she had suicidal thoughts many times. Why do we feel suicidal? Well, you don't feel suicidal when everything goes well with you. You feel suicidal when everything goes wrong, when the wheels come off, when there's pressure from everywhere, the pawpaw hits the fan and nothing seems to want to work out for you. And then the enemy comes and he sits on your ear and he starts telling you how useless, worthless, hopeless your situation is and that it's never going to change. And he tries to force you and manipulate you into getting to that point. How do you get through that without actually going ahead and doing something stupid? Because probably the chances are that 90% of the people in this room have at one point in time or the other had a suicidal thought go through your mind. Let's just all be honest, because she was honest. Who of you have ever had a suicidal thought pop into your mind? I'm not saying you did it. I'm saying you thought about it. Something came and it touched you and it said, oh, you know what? This is the better way. This is the quick way. This is the easy way out. So now I want to ask you a question. How do you get yourself to a place where if this type of stuff comes, you're not going to go where the enemy wants you to go? You're actually going to weather the storm and go to the other side. Well, it's called a foundation. We all need a good foundation. We all need a solid foundation, because Jesus said when the storms came, the house that was built on the rock remained sure. The house that was built on the sand crumbled and fell in. So tonight, I want to talk to you about a good foundation for 2015. I want to share one word with you, and I want to see what your reaction is. The word that I want to share with you is the word blessing. Amen. All right, I'm going to try that again. Blessing. Hello, hello. Yes, I like that. All right, if you think of the blessing, what do you think of? The word blessing, what does it say to you? Health. Prosperity. No, but you can't say prosperity because he's already said it. Give me something else. The glory of God. All right. And you, give me something that the blessing speaks to you. Love. And for you? Unmerited favor. Yes, that's the grace of God. And you?
I was going to say favor too.
You were going to say favor too. Now you're highly upset because she stole your word. Forgive her. It's all right. And you, can you give me what does the word blessing, does it bring anything to your mind? Peace. All right, let's quickly stop the bus. Yeah, we've had a whole bunch of different people give us just some random thoughts that came into their mind when they were given the word blessing. We had things like prosperity, things like peace, favor, the unmerited favor of God, grace of God. What else was there? What have I forgotten? Health. Yes. All right. Say again. Love, joy, excitement, enthusiasm, breakthrough. Oh, guess who needs a breakthrough? No worries. Peace. Yes. Okay. Now listen to me. If you listen to those words that we all just put together, all right, let's just quickly recap. Health, peace, life, love, prosperity, favor, no worries, no stress. Yeah? Does that appeal to you? Who of you would say that, well, you know what, that sounds like the type of 2015 that I would love to have? Just wave at me. If you're not waving now, it's because you're deaf and you must come and I'll pray for you. You'll feel better and you'll understand the next sermon. All right? Okay? So here's the thing. I do believe that every single one of us that is sitting here, deep in our hearts, would love to be blessed. But now I want to say something to you. The reality is that right now, the way things are, a lot of you are not blessed. And a lot of you are probably not going to have a prosperous 2015. Oh, Rian, how can you say that? You're ruining the friendship. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the truth. Because I want to tell you something about the blessing of God. The blessing of God is, wait for it, conditional. The blessing of God is conditional. You know, there's a lot of people that get very upset with God because this one is blessed and I'm not blessed. How dare God have favorites? God does not have favorites. But there are some people that apply the word of God correctly and that meet the conditions. There are some people that don't care. They do whatever they want. And then when they don't have the blessing, they get upset with the other one that actually does manifest the right lifestyle or whatever it might be to experience the blessing. So what do we need to do? If we want 2015 to be a year where we are blessed, then we're going to have to understand what are the conditions that the word of God gives us and how can we meet those conditions in order to bring about the blessing of God upon our life. Are you blessed simply because you are a child of God? To a certain extent, yes, because one day, if you are a true child of God, you're going to go to heaven. That to me is a great blessing. But let's ask the question, is the blessing of God simply coupled to the fact that one day I'm going to go to heaven, or is the blessing of God greater and bigger than that? Well, I want you to understand something. What good is it that, you know what, I'm 43 now. Let's say that God is going to bless me to the point that I'm going to be something in the 80s. Let's say I'm going to be 85 one day. That's still quite a while away. And if I have no health and I have no peace and I have no joy and I have no favor and I have no sanity for the next 40 years, am I going to have a good life, yes or no? Yeah, probably I'm going to go to heaven, but I'm going to be like, wow, I can't wait to get there. And maybe the next time the suicidal spirit comes and hangs around, I might actually listen to the stupid thing. So here's the thing. I want you to understand something. The blessing of God is not just coupled to your salvation, and salvation is not just a ticket to heaven. Look at your neighbor and say, it's not just a ticket to heaven. Right. Yes, you need the ticket. But I want to tell you something. There's a lot of nice things on the ride that you can experience. That includes health, peace, joy, prosperity, sanity, favor, etc., miracles. Amen? And you were praying for breakthrough. There we go. All of these things are available to us, and all of these things we can, in a sense, classify under the blessing of God. And I want to give you some peace. It's available to you. And it's available to you. And there's no good reason why, I'm sure this must be your mother, because the two of you look very alike. There's no good reason why your mother can have it, but God for some reason is going to say, oh, you know what, I don't want to give it to her. You can also have it. We can all have it. Even you, even you, even you. All of us can experience the blessing of God. So why do some have it and some don't? Because some understand and some don't. Oh, but Rian, how can you say that? Are you saying I'm stupid? No. The Bible says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Hello. Listen to what it says. My people are destroyed. If one of the manifest things, one of the manifest, what's the word I'm looking for? Signs of the blessing is prosperity and peace. Then what would be the manifest sign of the opposite of the blessing? Okay, what is the opposite of peace? Strife, anguish, torment, fear, anxiety, worry, fright, terror, depression, etc., etc. What would be the opposite of prosperity? Lack, poverty, defeat. All of these things. Now, that's not an appetizing thing to think of, is it? It's not what you want, is it? Is it what you want? Is it what you want? Is it what you want? Anybody in this place want that stuff? No. So when the Bible says my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, I want you to take that seriously. Your lack of knowledge is sometimes the main reason why right now nothing is happening for you in your life. Not the fact that God isn't real, not the fact that God doesn't exist or anything stupid like that, simply a lack of knowledge on your part. You know, let's put it to you this way. Let's just say that you're in a place where you have a pressing need and there is a vehicle available. But let's say you're an American and you never learned to drive a stick. So you have to get to the next city or dorpie or whatever the case might be. And if you could just drive this vehicle, it could get you to that place and you could receive everything you have. But you have this lack of knowledge and nobody told you that you actually have to push the clutch in. So you try to force the thing in and you break the car and you're stuck there. What was the problem? Was the car the problem? No. Your inability to use the car, your lack of knowledge about the car was the problem. Now, in the kingdom of God, there are many blessings available to you and you and you and you and you and me and everybody here. But our inability to understand them and our inability to comprehend them and to apply them is often the major reason why we look at somebody else's life and say, oh, but God's got favorites, because we don't see it in our life. I've got good news for you. It's available to you. It's just for you to understand. So, today, this is what I would like to do. I want to talk to you about the blessing. This is by no means a comprehensive study. This is just one or two scriptures because that's all I'm going to have time for. But I want to show you a couple of things that the Bible wants to see, that the Word of God says needs to be present in your life. And, you know, we've spoken about this many years ago. We spoke about something. And let's take a recipe. Who of you has a very nice recipe, something that you love, that every time you eat it, it makes you feel good and all warm and fuzzy inside? Who's got a nice recipe? Just wave. Yes, what is your recipe? Moussaka. That sounds like a mousse with something added to it. Is that exactly what it is? Yes, I did have it. It was actually very nice. All right, moussaka. It's lamb, I think. Eh? It's lamb and brinjals and okay, a whole bunch of sauce and cheese, and yeah, it's very nice. It's probably fattening as well, but it's very nice. Now, follow my reasoning here. For her to make a nice moussaka, she has to follow the recipe. Do you agree with me? If she doesn't follow the recipe, today it'll taste like this, tomorrow it'll taste like that, and nobody will really like it, because you know what, if today she puts in a handful of salt, and tomorrow she puts in the whole pot of salt, and the next day she puts in no salt. Can you see where we're going? There will be no consistency, and you won't like it. So having victory, or having prosperity, or having, in a sense, the blessing, is not just what you do, but sometimes what you're not supposed to do. Like, she can't put it in the oven for 4 hours because she feels like it if the recipe calls for 30 minutes. Do you understand that there's going to be a problem? So in order to have the recipe work, she must follow some do's, but she must also adhere to some don'ts. And if you don't adhere to both, you're going to mess up the recipe. It's going to taste like rubbish, and nobody's going to like it. It's exactly the same when it comes to our life. There are some do's and there are some don'ts, and we better understand how all of these things work and how they fit together, because if we only do the do's and we don't worry about the don'ts, it's not going to work for you. Or if you only do the don'ts, but you don't do the do's, you're going to go nowhere. And then you will be upset because God blesses your neighbor and not you. Let's look at Psalm 1. I'm sure most of you know it. Blessed is the man. Right, stop there. Look at how it starts off. Blessed is the man. You could put there the woman, because the Bible doesn't have double standards. Blessed is the person. Let's just put it that way. Blessed is the person. The Bible says this person, the following person, will be blessed of God. And then it gives us some things that when we study them, we will realize that this is what God wants to see in your life, for the blessing of God to be upon your life. Blessed is the man who does not. Ooh, stop there. What did I share with you just now? In any recipe, there are some do's and there are some don'ts, and you must understand both. So blessed is the man. It's like long lives the child who does not push his finger in the plug. Right. You want to live a long life? You better not do that because you might just end your life right there. Now, here it says, blessed is the man who does not walk. Okay, now you shouldn't stop reading there and say to your mom, Mom, you better borrow me the car because the Bible says we're not supposed to walk. No, that's taking it out of context, all right. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Ah, let's stop right there. How are you going to ensure or get one step closer to starting to live and manifest the blessing of God upon your life? First things first, you have to be very careful who you walk a road with. You have to be very careful who you mix and mingle with. You have to be very careful who you allow to speak into your life. You have to be very careful who you allow to influence your life. And that's very important. Because, you know, in Afrikaans het ons 'n gesegde, meng jou met die semels en die varke vreet jou op. I don't actually know how to put that in English. It's like really rough, but the fact remains that what you expose yourself to, and especially who you expose yourself to, is going to have a serious bearing as to whether your life will ultimately be blessed or whether your life will be cursed. Now, let's see how he puts it. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. When you counsel somebody, what are you doing? You're speaking into that person's life. You are telling them, don't do it that way, rather do it this way. In some way, you are using your life to influence somebody else's life. But does that type of thing just happen by what people speak? Or does it also come about by association? You see, this is something people don't realize and people don't understand. It's not so much the people around you, what they say, but sometimes what they do, and your continued exposure to what they do, that will start dragging you down into the pit. If the people that you hang around with themselves are in the pit right now, then I want to say something to you. Pretty soon you will find yourself in the pit. Because the more you interact with them, the more they will draw you down to their level. And then it's impossible for you to be blessed. Because the Bible says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. So we have to be careful who we walk a road with. That doesn't mean that you can't walk a road with somebody from the point of view of trying to help them. Of course, we have to help one another. But we all have people in our life that, if we have to be very honest about it, they're not really good for you. And maybe you have tried to help them in the past, but it's gone nowhere. And every time, or every now and then, you find yourself going more down their road instead of getting them to start going your road. What must you do? There's going to have to come a time when you must make a choice. The next fork in the road, you better take it your way and let them go their way. Because if you keep walking with them, the blessing of God is going to disappear in your life. We have to be very careful. When we are in the counsel of people that influence us in a way to do things that we know we're not supposed to do. I'll give you an example. If you hang around with people that gossip all the time, what's going to start happening in your life? I want to tell you something. There is no way that you're going to just sit there and listen. Firstly, listening is already not a good thing. Because what comes in will eventually come out. All the rubbish that you come in through your ears, at some point in time, it's going to come out your mouth and you're going to talk about it. So what are you supposed to do? You need to get away from that. You can't have that type of counsel coming into your life and expect God to bless you. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm nobody's dustbin. All right, so the more you lend your ears out to gossip and slander and rubbish and nonsense like that, the more you're turning yourself into a dustbin. When somebody runs up to you and says, hey, have you heard the latest? You say to them, I'm not a dustbin. And you ask them to just please go. Why? Because it is important for you to be blessed. Let's quickly see by the raising of the hands, who would love to be blessed in 2015? Amen. Right, now keep your hands in the air and say this with me. Today I make a choice. To stop walking in the counsel of the wicked. I stop walking with gossips. I stop walking with negative people. I stop walking with bitter people. Have you ever noticed how negativity quickly rubs off? Just wave at me if you know what I'm talking about. If you spend time with people that are negative, negative, negative all the time, even if you were positive at one point in time, by the end of the day, it's like, oh, you know what? We live in this godless country and it's going to the dogs and I just want to immigrate. And that's just the way we are. Can I tell you why? This is what the Bible is trying to warn you of. What you allow to come into you will change you inside. If all that comes in through your ears is gossip and slander, negativity, bitterness, anger, frustration, irritability, etc., 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 what's going to happen to your heart? Your heart is going to be filled with all of that stuff. And that's not good for you. In a sense, it gives you indigestion. Spiritual indigestion. Which will lead to constipation. And I'm sure most of you have had that once or twice in your life, and it's not a nice thing. You'd rather just let that go. Spiritual constipation. Things get stuck inside of you and then they can't come out. And then they start rotting you inside. Can God bless you if you're rotting inside? No. He first needs to get that rubbish out. Now the thing is, the Holy Spirit can help you to take it out. But if tomorrow you walk the road with the same people, then you're just rotting yourself all over again. And at some point in time, God's going to let you go. He's going to say, you know what, that's what you want. Suit yourself. I can't help you anymore. We need to make a change. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of the sinners. Okay. Stand in the way. If you listen to what the Bible says there, it's almost trying to imply that we copy. You know what? If somebody stands like this, and I go and I stand like this, guess what people are going to think? I'm like this. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I'm not like that. For in case you were wondering, I'm actually fine. I have three beautiful children that can prove that. Matthew, where are you? Just come here. There's my son. I'm fine. Or stand in the way of the sinners. In other words, copying what other people are doing. If somebody comes up to you and they say to you, oh, listen, yo, I figured out a way to make a lot of money. Of course, something is going to touch you and say, oh, you know what? This sounds good. You should listen. But within the first two sentences, you're seeing big, like, red lights and stuff. What should you do? Turn around and walk away. Show a clean pair of heels. Because the longer you sit, the longer you listen, the more you're going to think, oh, this sounds like a bargain. At some point in time, you're going to do it. There's a lot of things that people are doing out there that's wrong. You know it's wrong because you've got a conscience. You know it's wrong because you know the Word of God. But sometimes we choose to just ignore that conscience. You know, there's an old Indian proverb. They say your conscience is like a soft cheese. A triangle of soft cheese sitting in your heart. And when you are exposed to the things you should not be exposed to, that piece of cheese starts turning. And it starts pricking your heart. But because it's soft, it wears away fairly quick. So if you don't listen to it the first time or the second time, by the third time, it's worn out. And then you think to yourself, how bad can it be? We need to get to the place that we listen the first time, or at worst the second time, and we say, this is not for me. I can't do that. I can't be this way. Why? Because I want to be blessed, and God can't bless me if I'm not. And then he says, or sits in the seat of the mockers. There are a lot of people out there that have a really bad attitude. They like to mock people, they like to mock situations, and they like to mock God. The Bible says if you sit in the seat of the mockers, you cannot have the blessing of God upon your life. If you have people like that in your friendship circle, that should be a really, really big red light for you that you need to let that person go and get rid of them. Because God doesn't have time for mockers. Does that make sense to you? All right, now, I want to show you something. I have spoken about this before in the past, but there is a progression going on here. He says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the way of the sinner, who does not sit in the seat of the mocker. Can you see that? I'm walking, then I'm standing, then I go sit. And this sort of shows us the progression that there is in every person's life to eventually selling out to the evil one. When you start walking with the wrong crowd, it'll entice you. When you get enticed enough, you'll stand still because you want to see better. And the moment you want to see better, you actually sit down and you become part of them. And you can't expect God to bless you when you've become part of them. Right. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Tell me something. What is the law of the Lord? Are we talking here about the Ten Commandments? No, we're talking about what are the principles of the kingdom of God. What does the word of God teach us? What does the Bible say about lying? Look at your neighbor and say, thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. What does the Bible say about stealing? Thou shalt not. What does the Bible say about the house of God? Visit it. Make your dwelling there. Listen when God speaks. Be obedient to the Lord and He will bless you. Amen? So what are we supposed to do? You can't be blessed if you don't know the word. You can't be blessed if you don't attend worship, attend teaching, attend fellowship. That's where God speaks to you about your life. That's where the Holy Spirit comes and touches you. I'm not saying that you have to come to this church. I'm not saying you have to go to that church. I'm saying you must put yourself in a position where the Word of God is expounded for you, where the Word of God is allowed to enter you so that it can bring about change. I want to say something to you. The Word of God has a way of changing people if people allow it to. But you can also sit in a sermon and think, oh, this oak's a real idiot. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Be very careful what you say and what you think. Because when you treat the word of God with contempt, God will treat you with contempt. His word is his word. And let me help you to understand something that most people forget. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. You speak bad about the word of God, you speak bad about the man himself. You're in trouble now, big time. You know, there's a lot of people that have said to me in the past, I don't care what the Bible says. Ooh. Then you don't care about God. Because God is the Word and the Word is God and the two shall be one forever and eternity. Jesus is the Word. Finished and klar. You reject the Word, you've just rejected Christ. You reject Christ, you've rejected salvation. You reject Christ, you've rejected healing. You reject Christ, you've rejected peace. You reject Christ, you've rejected prosperity. Why? Because He's the only one that can give those things. Without Him, you can't have it. It's impossible. Let's talk about the blessing. The blessing isn't something that you can see. In a sense, I'll put it to you this way. What can I use here? This. I cannot tell you that this is the blessing. If you have this, you will be blessed. Firstly, there will be a stampede in this place. You are all going to walk over me, and everybody's going to try and get this thing because, oh, you know, I have to get this thing because this is how I get blessed. There are no lucky charms in the kingdom of God. I'm sorry for you. Get rid of your rabbit's foot. Throw away that horse's hoof. The wishbone. The funny bone. None of those things work. It doesn't work. But what does work is the Word of God. Amen? What does work is the Word of God. When we know it, when we apply it, it works. It changes us. All right. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mocker, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Oh, but Rion, you don't understand. If I do that, I can't do my work. And you know what? I can't do this and I can't. Nobody says that that's what you have to do physically day and night. But if the word is in you, when a situation arises, the word will jump up inside of you and it'll give you the opportunity to meditate on it. Is this good for me? Is this not good for me? But if the word is not in you, then you're going to have to meditate on the latest Rocky movie or, you know what the Kardashians are busy doing or something like that, because there's nothing else that can jump up inside of you. If the word is not in you, worldly things will jump up inside of you. And guess what worldly things do? They lead to the God of this world. Look at your neighbor and say, worldly things will lead to the God of this world. And unfortunately, that's true. If all you have inside of you is worldly things, then the counsel that you're receiving will come from the world. What is the world's view on being married? Oh, it's overrated. What's the world's view on abortion? Oh, it should be freedom of choice. Now, what's God's views on those things? The opposite of the world's view on those things. What's the world's view on disciplining children? It's totally overrated. In fact, it's downright nasty to discipline your children. What does God say? Spoil the rod and spoil the child. Yeah, spare the rod and spoil the child. Sorry. Why are we sitting in a generation right now that is out of control? Because we get told all the time we're not supposed to discipline our children. They're going to take you to court. Hello? I don't want to be around really in 20 years' time or 30 years' time when all these little snort copies grow up. It's going to be rough out there. Let me tell you something. Fasten your seatbelt because there's big problems coming. It's going to be a rocky road. You can't ignore the counsel that comes from the Word of God and expect it to be well with you. Because it's just not going to happen. You see, God created mankind. And God knows what makes us tick. You know, we got people like Freud and all those oaks that think they know how we work and this and that. And I'm not saying that they know nothing, because obviously they do. They know certain things. But nobody knows you inside and out but God. And if it's necessary for you, it's somewhere in His Word. And if you don't bother to find it, probably you can't fix the problems that you got right now. Let's get back to John chapter 8, verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Well, what truth is that? Is it what Stalin said? I don't think so. One of Hitler's long speeches? That's going to give you constipation, I promise you. Does it have anything to do with Freud? No. I don't care how good the person is. What they say and what God says will never have the same weight, because God's Word is the living Word of God. What people say is words. What God says is alive. It lives and it brings life inside of us. Amen?
Amen.
Ah, bless God. Now, He is like, in other words, the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not sit in the seat of the mocker, but delights in the law. The Bible says he, or that person, is like a tree planted by streams of water. What does a tree need to grow? It needs pretty much two things: sunlight and water. If you put a tree in the desert, it's got tons of sunlight, but it's got no water. Will it grow? No. If you put a tree in the middle of the ocean, it's got tons of water, but probably it doesn't have any sunlight. Can it grow? No. So what does it need? It needs two things: sunlight and water. Now, unless it's growing in a cave, it's always going to have sunlight. The variable, yeah, that's often missing is water. You put a tree close to a stream and you let it grow, and you compare it to a tree that you put in your backyard that just has to make a plan with the elements and the rain that comes now and then. What difference are you going to notice within the first 5 years? All right, I can't prove it to you, but I'm sure you can figure this out for yourself. In 5 years' time, the tree by the stream will probably be 10 times the size of the tree that has to try and fend for itself. In other words, what God's Word is saying is prosperity will come, growth will come, increase will come if you adhere to these principles that God is giving you today. Mr. Tony, can you do with some increase? What if I tell you that if you follow... Yes, you're sharp, aren't you? What if I tell you that if you apply these principles and you take your life and the growth that you've had until now versus the growth that you can have in 1 year, probably you can grow 10 times more in 1 year just applying these principles versus what you did not apply before. Because blessing, prosperity, all of these things, increase, growth, is coupled to this. And when this is in your life, God can bless you. You will be like a tree planted by the water. Look at what He says. He goes further. He says, He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season. So you're not just any tree. No, you're not an acorn tree or a blue gum tree. You're a fruit tree. What kind of a fruit tree is he? An old prune? No, you're not one of those, eh? He's a cherry. Ah, there we go. He's a cherry tree. There we go. The Bible says, when we place ourselves in the right place, when we apply the right principles, when we do what God expects of us and stay away from God, what God doesn't want in our life, there will be increase and we will grow and we will produce fruit. Let me tell you something about God. His first words to man was, be fruitful and multiply. Now, you know, when you think of be fruitful and multiply, you think of having children. Can I say to say no, you know? That's not all it means. Being fruitful is being fruitful. It's doing something with your life. It's being fruitful in business. It's being fruitful in marriage. It's being fruitful in your work situation. It's being fruitful in raising your children. Who wants to be fruitful? You want to be fruitful? Apply the word of God. You will be fruitful. You will start producing fruit. And then he says this, that yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Ooh. 2015. You want it to be the year of God's blessing upon your life? Then you need to get to the place where whatever you do prospers. What do? You're a manageress. Do you want to be prosperous as a manageress? Apply the word. What do you do? Project management. How do you be? How can you ensure that you will be prosperous? Apply the word of God. What do you do? You're a home executive. Is this your boss sitting next to you? She wants to be prosperous. Let me use the word of God and just cement that in your mind. She needs to be prosperous. Did you get that?
I got that.
Good. And what do, Georgie? You're an entrepreneur. How can you be prosperous in what? Listen, if you're an entrepreneur, you don't just sell Russians. You can do whatever. Right. So how can you know that you know that whatever you're going to touch tomorrow will be prosperous? Apply the word of God. It's not that difficult. Apply the word of God. There are some do's and there are some don'ts. Do the do's, stay away from the don'ts, toe the line, and be obedient. And this will happen. Let's look at the book of Deuteronomy chapter 28. I know you all know this, but it's good for you to hear it again. Deuteronomy chapter 28 says the following. If you fully obey the Lord your God, and if you carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, then the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all of these blessings will come upon you and accompany you. The old King James actually says, overtake you. If you obey the Lord your God. So how do you get to the place of the blessing? It's simple. Obedience. Simply be obedient. But again, I want to say to you, it's difficult to be obedient if you don't know what to be obedient to. I'm going to give you an example. This is a stupid example. When that girl was sharing her testimony, when she was talking about her life in the past, she was saying that there was a time when she was involved in tarot card reading and spiritism and all sorts of funny, weird stuff. All right, question. What does the Bible say about that? Well, let's quickly look at that. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Let's see what the Bible says about that. It says this. When you enter the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of those nations there. In other words, God says, I'm going to give you a list of things that in my eyes are detestable. If something is detestable to God, what makes you think it's right for you to mess around with it? You understand what the word detestable means, right? It's like God hates it. If you love somebody but you keep doing things that they hate, what's it going to do to the relationship? It's going to sour the relationship. There's no difference between you and your loved one and you and God. You keep doing things that God doesn't like, that he hates, it's going to cause big problems between you and God. And yes, you can tell me, yeah, but God is a God of love and God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy. God also honors his word. And if he says don't, you better understand that you must not. He says, yeah. Let no one be found amongst you who sacrifices his son or his daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens, who engages in witchcraft, who casts spells, who is a medium or a spiritist or who consults the dead. For anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive out those nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. So here's what we have. We sometimes have people who grow up in the church, but they don't really know things. Because they sit there, and if the dominie doesn't tell them or the pastor doesn't tell them, they couldn't really be bothered because they don't read the Bible and they have no inclination to find out things for themselves. So they start doing things they are not supposed to do, which opens a can of worms and brings destruction into your life. If you mess around with detestable things will come for you. Pain, suffering, heartache, sorrow, etc., etc. Okay. Getting back to Psalm 1. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. I know you all like that. Ooh, God, if I can just get to a place where whatever I do just works for me. If only I could be in a place where everything I try is a success. If only I can be in a place where whatever I do to make money, I don't make a little bit, I make a lot of money. If only I can get to a place that people actually like me and want to be around me, etc., etc. You want to be prosperous? Honor the word of God. It's not that difficult. But can I tell you what is difficult? The don'ts. Don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. But I like to hear those stories. I want to know what Mrs. Pochenpool is up to. You can't have your cake and eat it. If you want to mess with that stuff, you're going to have problems. Can I tell you what the difficult thing is? The difficult thing is to start pushing certain people out of your life. Because even though we know that they are wrong, sometimes we like to hang around them. And that's not a good thing. Listen to me very carefully. You know, I wish we videoed that night, but I think, Ed, I think we didn't. The one night back in Gedult, probably a year and a half ago, there was a girl that came to me and she said to me, oh, please, Pastor, you must pray for me because I got this problem. I like the bad boys. We all know who the bad boys are, right? They're normally quite slick. They got the gift of the gab. They got muscles bulging out everywhere. And whatever they want, they want. And they don't care how they get it. They use and they abuse, etc. And I listened to her and I said to her, well, you know what? Probably that's a curse in your life. And we must ask the Lord to break that, but I can't just break that. You must also make a choice to change, etc., etc. And as I was talking, I said, who of the other girls that is here have the same problem? You always want to go for this bad boy and you've had your heart broken like 50 times and you're full of disappointment and etc., etc. Hurt and pain and suffering and rejection. And you know, that night, if I remember correctly, there was about 10 girls that came forward and said, that's me. That's my life. And you know what? They all know when they get involved with the guy that he's got a reputation as a bad boy. Surely that should put you off, but apparently it doesn't put everybody off. For some people, that's like a magnet. It's like, ooh, that's a bad one. Are you available Saturday night? Are you a good one? Nobody cares whether you're available or not. I'm just joking. Your wife cares. That's fine. She should care. But can you see what I'm trying to say? This is not as easy as it sounds, because in order for you to be obedient to God, you're going to have to make changes and you're going to have to make sacrifice. There might be places that you like to go to that today God is talking to you and he says you better stop going to these places. There might be people that you hang around with that you know they are bad. And it's good for your reputation or something to hang around them. Guess what? It's not good for your spiritual reputation. Because instead of attracting God's attention, now you're attracting the devil's attention. And he's got big plans for your future. And they are not good. Do you know what his plans are for your future? Pain and suffering, heartache, rejection, destruction, hurt, suffering, etc. And if you keep giving him the opportunity, he's going to nail you. Right. We want to be blessed. We need to honor God. Ed, how long have I been busy? Have I got 5 minutes left? That's not a lot. All right, I'm going to skip the other things and then I'm going to talk about this last one. Psalm 127, verse 1 to 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. You want 2015 to be a year of blessing. You want it to be a year of hope. You want it to be a year of peace. You want it to be a year of joy and love and excitement and victory, etc., etc., right? The Bible says, unless God is the builder, whatever you do, you will fail. Remember, when Jesus spoke about the builders, what are we building? Yes, the foundation is right, but we're building our life. You are busy building, you are constructing a life for yourself. And everything you do is adding something to that building. You are either going to add bricks and mortar and stuff that make it strong, or you are going to add straw and hay and stubble, which is going to make it weak. The choice is yours, what you are adding to the building. But no matter how good the bricks are, no matter how good the cement is, when it comes to building your life, the only one that can ensure that you're going to build a good house is God. I want to say something to you. Please don't take this the wrong way, but it's the truth. You know, there's a lot of people out there that put their faith in people. You know, these oaks, what do you call them? Motivational speakers and this oak's self-help book and that, and you know, wada, positive thinking, blah, blah, blah. You are not the builder of your house. Some other oak out there is not the builder of your house. The only one that can help you to build a house that will weather any storm and get you through any situation is God. And if he's not the builder, the Bible says whoever is building is wasting their time. It could be you building, it could be your mother building, it could be your father building, it could be your boyfriend building, it could be your husband building, it could be your children building. Doesn't matter who it is. I don't care if it's the Pope. He's wasting his time. Because the only one that can ensure that everything works the way it should is God. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Can I tell you how this works? You get people out there that they've worked hard, they are disciplined, they get up early in the morning, they try lots of, let's call it worldly principles, they are committed, they are dedicated, but you know what, when they come to a certain age, they look back and they like, wow, I got nothing to show for my life. Why? Because you were trying to build something that God says only he can build. If God is not the builder, there's a problem. Can I tell you why? Let's see who of you can figure this out. Think building. Why is it only God that can build the house? Yes. Oh, you are smoking. Get away from her. You're going to catch fire. Only God has the plans for your life. Now listen to me carefully. If you were supposed to be an 8-story building and you're trying to build, a school, how many of you know that there's going to be a problem? That's not what the builder wanted. You were never designed to be a school. And the next person wasn't designed to be an 8-story building. And the next person wasn't designed to be a duplex. And the next person wasn't designed to be a townhouse. God is the only one that knows what you were designed to be. If He's not building, you're off plan. If you're off plan, you can't prosper. Does that make sense to you? That's why God has to be in charge of the building. That's why God has to be in charge of your life. That's why you have to get to the place that you let go of the reins and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, every now and then I try and take charge. It's not me, it's you. How are you going to be blessed in 2015? By giving back the plans to God. Or not the plans, the reins to God. Because He's got the plans. And let me tell you something. Can you use, for example, he's going to be an evangelist one day. He's working on his vocal cords. Yeah. He's just showing the devil what he can do. One day he's going to sort him out. Can we use this building that we're in now as a bunker in time of war? Will this thing do anything for us? I mean, look at all the glass around. We're going to die in this place. No, we can't. Why? Because it wasn't built for that. If you try and use a building in a way that it wasn't constructed to be used, it's going to flop. Now look at your life. And let's ask the question, why do you flop all the times with what you do and what you try and accomplish? Because maybe your building is all kokai. Maybe what you are trying to build and what God has on His blueprints are so far from one another that there is no way that anything can work in your life. Hello? How do we fix that? Don't worry, God's got a very big hand. He goes, twar, and He breaks everything down, and He starts rebuilding. And if you put Him in charge, He'll actually rebuild very quickly. But you first have to let go. And sometimes He needs to break certain things down, because that's not where they were supposed to go. And He needs to rebuild them the way He wants them. You know, this links in with where the Bible speaks of God being the potter and we are the clay. When God sits in front of that potting wheel, in His mind He has an idea. Oh, I want to create a vase, or I want to create a pot, or I want to create a plate, or whatever, you know. And what He wants to create is going to be brilliant if you use it for the purpose it was created for. Can you take your vase and put it in the fire and boil water with it? No, definitely not. But sometimes that's just a stupid example of what we will do. We want our life to manifest something we were never created for. Worst case scenario, some people are in completely the wrong job. Because you're trying to do something you were not created for. So what needs to happen? Now, I'm not saying you must go and resign your job tomorrow. You first have to let go of the reins and let God come into your life and take charge. And He's going to start showing you certain things that will show you this is not for me. And when you've allowed Him to rebuild you the way you should be, then another door will open and you will be moved to where God wants you to be. And peace will be restored to your life. Amen? Amen. Now listen to the second part. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. You know, a lot of us, we've got our little, what do we call them? Techniques, maneuvers, whatever, to try and make sure that we're going to be prosperous, we're going to be peaceful, we're going to be happy, we're going to go forward. Here's what the Bible says, unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. Whether it's you watching or you got some other person giving you spiritual insight or speaking into your life or whatever, it doesn't matter. Whoever you've got watching over you, if God is not the one watching, it's going to do nothing for you. Because God is the only one that knows where you fit in the city. Let's say something about that. The world is like a city, a big city. Your house, God wants it in a certain place. You can't just go and build yourself here or build yourself there. You need to be where God wants you to be. Sometimes we force ourselves into places jobs, circumstances. We're not supposed to be. You weren't created for that. Can you put up a big factory in the middle of a residential area? You can. In South Africa, they do it all the time. But nobody likes you. You upset people. You're a stain on the skyline. It's like that shouldn't happen, but it happens. Now, sometimes our lives are exactly the same. We went and built ourselves in the wrong place. But when we put God in charge and we let Him start watching over us, He'll put us where we're supposed to be. In the same way, you don't want to build your nice house, your nice little villa, somewhere there in Funabail Park, between all those smoldering, smoky... Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't want to build it there. But there's a nice place for it. So I want to end off and I want to say this to you. 2015 can be a year of God's blessing. But there's a couple of things that need to happen. First, you have to start being obedient to God. There's a couple of things you should do and a couple of things you should not do. And there's a lot more than what I gave you now, but these are the only scriptures I had time for. And the second thing you have to do is you have to let God be the builder. Not yourself. Not your family. Not your boss. God. And you must let God watch over your property. In other words, God must watch over your life. You know, I live in an area where crime is rife. Over December, they broke into every single house in my street. For 8 years, I haven't had a burglary. Can I tell you why? Because God watches over my house. How do I know He watches over my house? Because I pray for my house every day. I pray for His protection. And in the same way, I pray for my life and I pray for the life of my children. God must be in charge. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have this company and that company and that, but ultimately you must understand where the blessing comes from. It's God first. We must do the possible and allow God to do the impossible. We must do the natural and let God do the spiritual. If you've got four angels standing around your property, let me tell you something, you're probably not going to have problems. But they'll only be assigned when God is in charge. The more you're in charge, the further they're away from your property. It's just the way life is. There's some of you sitting here. You are falling apart because of financial problems. Who's building your house? The more you fall apart, the more you think you can build it. Can you build it? Yes, but you're going to build it wrong. Which is probably why you got problems. There's some of you here falling apart because your children are rebellious and this and that and wada wada. Who must build the house? Hand them over to God. Give them back to God. Say, listen, your Lord, here they are. Build them. Me, I can't build them anymore. I'm giving them to you. It's probably a very difficult thing to do. I know. But that's what has to happen. God must be the one building, not you, not me. God. Let God build. Let God protect. Let God take care. Do the possible, but leave the impossible to God. Amen? Amen. Who wants to be blessed for 2015? Please do not go home because I'm going to anoint your hands. I'm going to pray over you and we're going to speak the blessing of God over you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand. Amen. Bless God.